2877. Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 on your radio dial.
We are Refining Faith, and we listen to WBAI in New York City, 99.5 FM.
Ooh. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we're gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children.
See a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for Ecologic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And we're with Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for Wednesday, August 16th, 2023. When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Thank you, Ken. Today, our guest is Lindsay Auden of Energy Whiz, chairperson and coordinator of the Croton Sustainability Committee. We'll be talking about ground source heat pumps and how the town of Croton cut its greenhouse gas emissions. First, we'll talk about the monumental victory in Montana.
Yeah.
Burning at ball fields, homeowners insurance cancellations due to climate change, and closed beaches.
We try to open every show with good news. And this is some of the best news ever.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Our Children's Trust, the nonprofit law firm representing young people's legal right to a safe climate, just won in the Montana courts. Roger Sullivan of McGarvey Law said, simply stated, the government elected by this generation must abide its obligation to pass on a stable climate system to future generations. We've gotten a lot of emails about this awesome victory, but few of them mentioned the reason they won. Montana is one of three states with a green amendment, the others being Pennsylvania and recently New York. That amendment is what provides a constitutional right to a clean and healthy environment. They could not have won in Montana without it. This points out the value of green amendments, and it's hard to disagree with Maya Van Rossum of For the Generations that all environmentalists should be working on one for their state.
And here is something that's just plain fun. Sometimes an environmental article comes to us out of left field. Sports writer Joe Trezza has an article in the National Audubon Society's online magazine about birds at sports stadiums. Stadiums are large green spaces, so wildlife, particularly birds, are attracted to them. Joe has been to a lot of games in a lot of cities, so he's seen a lot of different species, some for the first time in his life. We birders call them life birds. My favorite story is of the sandhill cranes he saw on the pitcher's mound in the bullpen in Tampa. His baseball stadium life is impressive, with woodcock, bow-tailed grackle, white ibis, common nighthawk, bald eagle. Longtime listeners might know that I'm a birder and a baseball fan and wondering what I've seen. During a Mets game, I was totally distracted by a pair of eastern goldfinches flying back and forth from one side of the mezzanine and loge to the other. Most of the fans didn't notice them, and the ones that did referred to them as canaries, the only yellow bird they knew. Some were interested in knowing they were goldfinches, and some weren't. I had the same experience Joe Trezza had in Atlanta watching common nighthawks catching mosquitoes and moths that were attracted to the lights. I remember worrying about house sparrows landing on the outfield during a Yankees game, concerned that a ball traveling at 100 miles an hour off someone's bat might hit them. It never happened. I do remember reading in a baseball humor book about an outfielder reacting to the sound of a bat hitting a ball hard, jumping in the air to catch what was only a shadow to him, and finding a house sparrow in his glove, which then flew away. Oh. As Chris Cooper said on Ecologic, birds are everywhere. If you're attuned to them, you'll see them.
Mm-hmm. From Americans for Financial Reform, two of California's largest insurance providers are now declining to write any new homeowners policies in that state due to massively increased risk from climate change. Getting a mortgage is impossible without insurance. This is similar to homes in fracking areas. Insurance companies call fracking areas industrial sites and cancel homeowners insurance. Will those homeowners connect losing their insurance to climate issues? Well, we hope so.
Beaches in the area are often closed, particularly after it rains. This is due to the prevalence of CSOs, combined sewer overflows. Wastewater from your bathroom goes to the sewers and then to a water treatment plant. Rainwater also goes to the same sewers. That's the combined part of CSO. When the amount of rain overloads the pipes going to the local water treatment plant, the sewer diverts the excess into the nearest waterway. Not great. If there is a beach near the overflow output, the beach will get closed. City budgets rarely include money to enlarge sewer systems. It's totally expensive. The sea level rise, part of climate chaos, is making smaller rainfalls overflow their CSOs, which is why beaches are closed more frequently than they used to be.
And now we welcome our guest. Please introduce yourself, Lindsay.
Good morning. My name is Lindsay Auden. I'm a former WBAI radio producer. But for the last 30-some-odd years, I have been running my own consulting firm after working for others doing energy efficiency and renewables work for previously almost 20 years. So I've been in the business for a long time. And I'm also the Climate Smart Coordinator for Croton-on-Hudson, which is a small suburban village north of New York City, about 30 miles north.
So what's so great about ground source heat pumps?
Let's first define what a heat pump is.
Okay.
It's a mechanical device that is able to move heat from one location to another, typically through the compression and expansion of a refrigerant gas. And every air conditioner is a form of heat pump, but it only goes one way. It takes heat out of your house, puts it outdoors. When we use the term heat pump nowadays, we typically mean something that can go in both directions. It can send heat from your house to outdoors in the summer, but it can take heat from the outdoors, even in winter, and bring it into your home. And doing so utilizes only electricity. And if that electricity is relatively clean, then you have cut the carbon footprint or the carbon production resulting from the heating and cooling of your home.
So there, every once in a while we hear a little controversy. Some people don't agree that it's, and some people do agree and love it. So what is the controversy? We've heard something recently about air pumps.
Air source heat pumps?
Yeah.
Right. There are basically two kinds of heat pumps that are relevant to this discussion. One is the air source heat pump, which an air conditioner is a form of, but only goes in one direction. An air source heat pump is able to pull heat from outdoors, even when it's cold, and bring that heat in. A ground source heat pump, which some people call geothermal heat, instead pulls heat up from under the ground, usually through a circulating fluid, either water or an antifreeze solution, because when you get below about 5 or 10 feet below the ground, the earth is basically an infinitely large heat source, low temperature heat source, unless you're in a coal mine, and also an infinite heat sink, someplace where you can dump heat from a home into it. But a ground source heat pump is a lot more complex than an air source heat pump because it involves drilling into the earth and a lot more equipment. So air source heat pumps are generally more utilized. They can be put into just about any home, depending upon what the existing heating system is, and are very popular now in new homes and new residential buildings.
Now, we had a person who saw our publicity for this show who said that she had real problems with aerosol street pumps. And you had a great answer for her or anybody who may have had problems decades ago.
Yes, you go back to the 1980s or even 1970s where heat pumps were quite prevalent in the South and to some degree even in northern climates. But they didn't have a good reputation where we are. And there are many, many stories. You talk to any heating, air conditioning contractor, and he's going to say, oh, heat pumps, tool of the devil. I had one of those blow up on me, blah, blah, blah. And you'll hear that going back, you know, especially the 80s and even into their 90s. But like many things, things improve. And heat pumps that are available nowadays are much more efficient, much more capable, and have built-in backup systems. So a lot of the problems that were mentioned, quite honestly, and I think correctly by your listener, do not occur nowadays. They also, of course, these heat pumps are also more expensive and more complex. So they are a more, interesting item to put into your home. But nowadays, there are also many more incentives and rebates to cut that first cost and thereby allow people to install heat pumps either in their existing home or in a new home or even in a residential apartment building.
And of course,
for a ground source heat pump, how far down do you have to drill, and can it be placed anywhere?
Well, that's a good question, because the answer is anywhere may be okay when you look at it on the surface, but there may be reasons underground that you don't want to do it. Now, just to be clear, there are two general ways to build in heat ground source heat pumps. One is by drilling straight down into the ground, usually on the order of a couple of hundred feet, though not necessarily that deep if there is groundwater below. Then there's the, and that's typically called the dandelion system. That's the company that makes and puts out most of those ground source heat pumps. Then there's what many of us call the water furnace method, which is where you drill or actually excavate a large space for a home that might be a couple hundred square feet or whatever, and cut off about, remove about 4 or 5 feet of earth, and then put horizontal loops of refrigerant piping and then bury it again. And so long as you've done that significantly below the frost line, keep in mind where we are, ground will freeze the first foot or two in the wintertime, get below the frost line, and then that will have the same effect, but then you're going to dig up your whole front yard. Mm-hmm. Now, that may be okay in many areas. In my house, when I looked at it, and I have a ranch house in a wooded area where we don't have a sewer system, so we all have septic tanks, which means that somewhere underground, there's not only a tank, but a whole bunch of perforated pipes to release the fluid. And the water furnace guy looked at it, and this is years ago, and he said, oh, we can't do anything here. We're going to have to dig up your sewer system. You're saying, oh, we could do it, but we got to move it someplace else. Oh, we could dig up your driveway. Yeah, my blacktop driveway is going to get ripped up to put something down. Forget that. You know, the buck stops. It just become expensive. So if you have a sewer system, a septic system, and not a lot of other area, the water furnace might not work for you. If you are in an area where you are going to try to drill straight down, you better not be above bedrock too much, because the drilling is dependent upon moving soil, not cutting into rock. Mm. Likewise, if you are on top of an aquifer, which many of us in Croton are, we get our water through the watershed system, and there's basically a big sponge underneath us, which absorbs water, and we all drill into it, and that's where we get our water from. Or a water well, it might not be allowable to drill down very far, because if the refrigerant system piping that you drill down, put it in, leaks, that goes into the groundwater and people don't want to drink the water anymore. So bottom line is that many, many places it will work, but there may be what we call geotechnical issues, the rock, the sewer, the aquifer, that may block your ability. And one last one, if you're going to drill straight down, the drill rigs that are used to make that drill cannot go up anything very steep. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine who was going to put one in had the drill rig people come to her house, and there was a slight slope on the front yard, about maybe 3%, 4%. And they said, oh, our drill rig can't go much above 5%, which is maybe a 5-degree slope. And if you're in the Hudson Valley, you got a lot of slopes everywhere. This is not the Midwest where everything is flat. So once again, there may be reasons why it won't work.
Now, how do people find out what is good and bad about it? Can they find out themselves, or do they need to talk to an expert like you?
Everybody uses Google Maps nowadays. There are also, of course, maps of geological surveys that will indicate roughly where in some areas the bedrock is, or whether or not there's an aquifer or whatever. And the companies like Dandelion, when they first look at your address, they go and look at those maps. And then they take it, go to Google Maps, and they see what kind of slope you got. And in the case of my friend, she was told, without even anybody showing up to her house, no way, too steep, forget it. So a lot of this can be done remotely, just like solar. Solar people look at your rooftop, and then they figure out whether or not it makes any sense.
But how practical is it for people to do this? They can't do it themselves and need to call a professional like yourself, right?
Well, first thing they would do is figure out, do they want to do a ground source heat pump or possibly an air source heat pump? The ground source heat pump may be more energy efficient, but it is way more expensive and involves way, way more in technical involvement. If they decide, as many of my neighbors have done, is that a ground source heat pump doesn't make sense, then they go to an air source heat pump. And in my area, and this is typical for much of New York, you'll have 10 or 20 times as many air source heat pumps put in as ground source heat pumps just because of this. But you can go to a company like Dandelion, and they will do a survey for you at no charge, usually remotely, and tell you whether or not you're a good candidate. And then based upon other considerations, how big your house is, et cetera, they can give you a ballpark price, $20,000, $30,000, somewhere in that range. That's without the incentives. When the incentives come in, that might cut it down by a lot. But a lot of this can be done remotely.
Is it something like solar where you'll save money in the long run?
Usually, yes. And the amount that you save is going to be relative to how much you're spending on heating and cooling right now. If you have, for example, an electric resistance heating system in your house, and you go to a ground source heat pump or air source heat pump, you're going to save a bundle. Because if you're heating with electric resistance, you're paying way more than most people will pay if their homes are heated by natural gas or oil. And so they're going to pay back. All these things will pay back. But you better be considering, how long are you going to keep that house that you're in? Are you going to be there for the next 10 or 15 years? No, you're planning to sell it in 5 years. Maybe not investments of $30,000 right now.
Okay. Would it help with the resale value if you're thinking of not staying very long, or not really a factor?
Having been a landlord, having been bought and sold homes over the last 50 years of my life, I can tell you that the average homeowner doesn't even look at the fuel bills. They ought to. They don't even look, with the exception of possible oil in the house, where you may have an oil tank, which has all kinds of other implications, or an oil tank below ground, which has all kinds of real estate implications. Aside from that, most tenants really don't give a darn. They want to make sure that it's going to be nice and cool in the summer, nice and warm in the winter, and whatever kind of fuel that uses, not my problem. If it's working right now, I'll go ahead and accept it as it is and figure it out later.
All right. So let's talk about your exciting successes with the town of Croton. Tell us about what's going on there.
Yes, you asked about the Clean Energy Communities Program. This is a program that both Croton and over 500 other communities in New York State are participating in. Clean Energy Communities Program, CEC for short. It was started in 2016 by NYSERDA, which is our state energy agency, New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, here and after called NYSERDA. And the NYSERDA program asks communities to perform certain tasks, like benchmarking their buildings for energy use and things like that. And in return, they may be able to get small grants to actually do some of the things we're talking about, like air source heat pumps in a municipal building. And Clean Energy Communities is only for municipal governments at this point. So we're not talking about the average homeowner. That's residential. We're talking about any building that is owned by a municipal or released by a municipal agency, like town, county, village, or a city. And we in Croton have been very active and are now the full leader in the state. We have more clean energy community points than any other entity in the state. We have gotten the maximum amount of grants and are going after more. We've used those grants to install a 36 kilowatt solar array on the rooftop of our firehouse, enable heat pumps in some of the buildings, put in a heat pump water heater, buy electric vehicles, and all kinds of other neat stuff that cuts the village's climate footprint.
When you say the points, what in the world does that mean?
I'll give you an example. If you agree to benchmark your village buildings, which means that you use a program called Portfolio Manager run by the US EPA, you will look every year at their energy use, refrigerant use, whatever, and come back with a filled out form, in essence, that says, here's how much energy we're using, and that gets compared to all the other buildings in the United States based upon type of building. And then and also climate area, and you get a score under Portfolio Manager. And if you do this kind of benchmarking continuously for a number of years, we're in our sixth year now doing benchmarking, the CEC program gives you points, brownie points, and said, oh, benchmarking, you get 400 points. When you get enough points together, like 5,000 points, you have to do a lot of work to get that, you can get $100,000 worth of grants, which we got and already spent. And in essence, you know, you get more points. And they just announced more programs that we're going to go after that get you to sign up more people for community solar, identify electric vehicle purchases by your local community since June 1st, and identify heat pump installations since June 1st. And if we do all of that together, we get another $82,500 in grants, which we've already figured out how to spend three different ways.
I'm just wondering, does every town need a Lindsay Auden there, or are there lots of Lindsay Audens in New York State with those 500 municipalities?
There are certified energy managers who do this kind of thing for commercial buildings or whatever. I've been a certified energy manager, CEM as it's called, going back to 1989 or something when I was the energy manager for Columbia University for 8 years. We upgraded all their buildings, did all kinds of stuff for them, cut that carbon footprint, won a bunch of awards. The certified energy managers are, there are thousands of them in the United States, and they're certified by the Association of Energy Engineers, which is a professional outfit just like ASHRAE or IES or any of those. Or you can go to a consulting firm, energy consulting or engineering consulting firm, who many of whom have CEMs on their staff, and they will do this kind of work for you. Many municipalities hire engineers routinely to do things like highways and street lighting, etc. And they'll go back to them and say, hey, you did our street lights last year, you know, 10 years ago, and we want to upgrade them to LED, which also gets you points in the CEC program. And so please get proposals and tell us how we can change over from metal halide or high pressure sodium, the old style, to LED lighting and cut our street lighting bill in half, and thereby cut our carbon footprint, etc. And the same thing can be done for HVAC, heating, ventilating, air conditioning for municipal buildings.
And you know, but there are so many ways of doing this, and I want especially homeowners to start thinking about what questions they want to ask you when we take calls. I think because we are talking to homeowners, we should take our listener phone calls early this show. So everybody get ready to call, and you know, and after we play our music in the middle of the show.
Yeah. The other thing is we've probably talking to a lot of tenants, and are there things that they can ask their landlords to do that will receive a positive answer that, you know, doesn't necessarily involve a lot of expense, which we know landlords are not going to want to take on without a return. So,
okay, here's your 30-second elevator speech to tenants and homeowners. NYSERDA has lots and lots of grants that can go to residentials. And now Uncle Sam is putting out a whole bunch of other money on the table through the Inflation Reduction Act. And stay tuned for a lot of that stuff, because while some of it is available right now, much more is going to be available after Thanksgiving or a beginning of next year around that time, because the regulation just being written about that. And think about that as a way to really buy down the cost of these things and then make them a lot easier for you to do. For tenants, we're going to talk about air source heat pumps you can install in your own window. But I now turn the show back to you for your mid-time music.
I look forward to talking more about that. Ken, give the phone number for the people to call in.
That is 212-209-2877. But wait until after 10:30.
And excuse us, Lindsay, as we have to take a short break So you're a great guest that helps us get make the transition. Thank you. You'll remember from your own BAI days that all producers need to raise money to help keep BAI on the air, to ensure that the bills get paid and the transmission tower keeps transmitting. We'll be back with Lindsay soon, so just stay with us.
Now, if you heard last week's program about the environmental catastrophe of nuclear war, there are firsthand stories of six survivors of the Hiroshima bombing and the people they encountered right after the bombing, and they're available from the Pacifica Archives, a 2004 broadcast of the radio play Hiroshima from the People, based on John Hersey's interviews and his article in the New Yorker magazine. Hiroshima from the People can be yours for a donation of $99.50, 99.5, our station, and includes actors such as Tyne Daly, Ruby Dee, Daniel Benzali, Roscoe Lee Brown, and others.
There's no other station like WBAI. We have longer, more in-depth interviews than almost all mainstream programs. We're sure that you need WBAI. We don't bend to corporate advertisers at BAI or at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you.
We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions, concerts, webinars, conferences, lobbying efforts. It's all important. Your donations help us help community groups get the word out.
Some of you are returning listeners. Welcome back. Aren't you glad many of your old favorites are still on the air? Ecologic has been on WBAI for more than 21 years. We often hear from people who rediscovered WBAI. They appreciate our independence and the news, information, and entertainment that is so different from corporate media. We have such a great history, including that 2004 live broadcast of Hiroshima, which can be yours for $99.50. And there are still radio dramas on BAI. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you're listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by mail or call 212-209-2950. Or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
We're so glad that WBAI's Monday evening program, Housing Notebook, found the amazing radio drama of Hiroshima from the People, and that we can offer it as a premium for $99.50 to the Ecologic audience. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it.
I was in a writer's circle at my local library, reading Ecologic's upcoming news to them back before Donna and Sally were writing it with me. One of the people told everyone that when she and her husband moved to New York City because of his job, they felt very lonely until they discovered WBAI. Listening to BAI, she realized, we have friends here. Suddenly, she didn't mind having moved out here. There is a specialness to WBAI that goes beyond the shows themselves.
Do you remember turning on WBAI in October 2019 and finding dead air? It was shocking. It was before COVID, but there was a different threat that knocked in the door, literally. A rogue group from Pacifica, WBAI's parent organization, were conspiring to close WBAI and sell the radio signal. That's our most valuable asset. WBAI supporters, including WBAI Fightback, went to court to get our station back, but that was just the first step. Bad guys are not going away. Just as in the environmental movements, they keep coming back. We must stay vigilant. If you want to see WBAI stay afloat, please see this, feel this, hear this radio station as yours. We all know that money is tight now, and that goes double for nonprofits and all people's media. Let's all chip in to keep our station strong. Can you afford to pledge as an Ecologic BAI buddy for just $10 a month, maybe even $15 or more? We really need your support. Please help to keep us on the air. Also important is the members' election coming up shortly. Voting is scheduled from now to September 30th, and we need all our members to participate. If you have donated at least $25 between July 22 and June 30th, 2023, or volunteered at least 3 hours, you are a voting member. Please watch out for your ballot. It will be as important to saving the station as all the efforts in October 2019. There is voting almost every year, so becoming a member is always a good thing. Please send in your $25. This really is your radio station.
You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts they don't hear.
Like Lindsay.
You have facts they don't have. You know about events they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it, and please show your love by donating in the name of Ecologic. Go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed or want to hear again. Ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and direct links to hear them.
If you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums directly to WBAI. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention, Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We're sure you'll find something you'll want. You can find all our premiums in ecologic.wbai.org. That's ecologic.wbai.org.
This upcoming song is quite fitting. Our guest and one of our hosts are married to members of the New York City Metro Raging Grannies. Here are the Grannies with Radical Environmentalists, which was recorded at WBAI's 120 Wall Street studio.
Oh, we're radical environmentalists. We're radical environmentalists. We like clean air and clean water, just like the farmer's daughter, 'cause we're radical environmentalists.
Yeehaw!
Oh, we like our veggies without pesticides. Hate beef and chicken fed with cows who die. We like fish without PCBs and forests filled with old trees, 'cause we're radical environmentalists. We like autos that will cause us no pollution, and we think laws should provide a safe solution. We like lawns grown without weed and feed. We'll toss out every gene splice seed. We're radical environmentalists.
Yeehaw!
We want power that can always be renewed.
And how?
And we want to change consumer attitudes.
Yes, indeed.
Recycle all your glass and paper. And you can tell your
That was New York City Metro Raging Granny singing Radical Environmentalist.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. We're back with Lindsay Auden talking about ground source heat pumps and how the town of Croton cut its greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, how can people get their local municipality to cut energy costs like you did with Croton?
There are actually two programs. The one that makes the biggest difference most quickly is Clean Energy Community Program in New York State. I'm sure there's a comparable one in New Jersey. I think when we discussed this earlier, you had a link to it. But in New York State, it is Clean Energy Community. There is a separate program run by the Department of Environmental Conservation called the Climate Smart Community that is also for municipal governments. And that too can help them figure out ways to cut their carbon footprint, not so much from energy, but from through other things such as recycling, food scrap recycling, you know, composting, et cetera. But Clean Energy Community Program in New York State is the place to go to. And you can get to them by looking at the NYSERDA site. NYSERDA is our state agency. That's NYSERDA, NYSERDA.gov. What I do want to point out to you, though, is that a lot of the stuff that can be done, even outside of municipalities, like in residentials and even small commercials, there are a variety of other programs that are offering incentives to cut the cost to do all this good stuff. And I want to be sure to mention one particular website that gathers a lot of this together. It's called rewiringamerica.org. Rewiring America, one word, rewiringamerica.org. It has a national view, and it looks at all of the federal incentives, including some that are just coming online right now as we're talking, that can offer money to businesses and also residentials, and especially those of low income under something called, I got to get the name right here, the High Efficiency Electric Home Rebate Act. High Efficiency Electric Home Rebate Act. That's in order to get you off of oil and gas and onto electricity, which is getting cleaner as we speak. The abbreviation of this is HEEHRA, what some people call HERA. And HERA, the High Efficiency Electric Rebate, blah, 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 that the regulations are just being finished and should be done maybe by Thanksgiving, but usually like around the first of the year, sometime around there. And under the HERA, even people with low income can get more incentives to cut down their cost to be able to do some of the stuff we've been talking about, including even in your apartment. So these are things you want to watch, and go to rewiringamerica.org as a good start to see how you can get access to the incentives and ways to electrify your home and get off of fossil fuels.
We link to that website on our website, ecoradio.org.
Excellent.
And in New Jersey, the main program of which I'm aware is Sustainable Jersey. And that also, like the Clean Energy Communities, has a point system for municipalities, and they can achieve, I think, three layers of sustainability: gold, silver, bronze, or working upwards, bronze, silver, gold. There's also the Fund for New Jersey, which seems to have some sort of grant programs as well.
New Jersey will not be left out while Sally Gellert is on Ecologic. And now we invite you to call in with your comments and questions. The call-in phone number is 212-209-2877. Now's your time to call 212-209-2877.
As an apartment dweller, I am really fascinated that this can be something that can be used in an apartment.
And we really got to define apartments as versus condos and co-ops, because each of them is different. Each has different rules. The big question is, do you have a heating thermostat? If you don't have a heating thermostat, then the landlord is putting the heat into the building as needed, but you have no control over it. So let's assume it's an oil-fired boiler, just to make it easy. The amount of oil that's going to get burned is going to stay pretty much the same, whether or not you open your window or whatever, because you haven't got a thermostat to control it. But if you do have a thermostat and can control the heating in your apartment or condo or co-op or whatever it is, you can go to other forms of fuel use. For example, if you've got a gas-fired stove, you can now go to and various types of electric stoves, especially for cooktops. Induction cooktops, which replace the burners on your top, don't run on gas. They run on electricity and are more efficient and actually can heat up faster than you have with a gas flame. And it also, of course, eliminates the fumes coming from burning natural gas and methane when you use a gas stove. That's one right there. And yes, for some of those things, you can get an incentive, because under the HERA, high efficiency, blah, 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 I just talked about, there is money, depending upon your income and a bunch of other things, that they will use, you can get to buy down the cost of things that electrify your home and get rid of fossil fuels. If you do control your own heating, you have the option to go to an air source heat pump, wherein instead of it being oil or whatever it is that's creating the heat in your home, you can be using some form of heat pump that goes into your window, or if you own the building, like under a co-op or something, can even change the heat source for the whole facility. But there is a type of air source heat pump that is called Gradient, G-R-A-D-I-E-N-T, Gradient. You can Google on Gradient heat pump, which can fit into a window and it has like, it looks like a big U shape from its end. One side of the U fits into your home, the other side goes outside, and then you close the window on the peak of the, the valley of the U around it so that it holds in your window. That's not going to get you completely off of gas or oil, but it will replace some of the heat that would be used by gas or oil with electricity, and much more efficiently than electric resistance heat. And so Graydon is an opportunity.
And I think we have a caller.
We do. 212-209-2877, and you are on the air.
Hi, it's Russ.
Hi.
Caller, sponsor, sometimes dissenter. But I'd like to ask your guest, we have a well for drinking water, 200 feet deep or more. Can it be used simultaneously as a geothermal heat source as well as drinking? And the second question is, in England, they have community ground geothermal heat pumps. And usually in newly built estates. I guess they're like housing projects. Are there any initiatives here that use community geothermal? And in order to evaluate your guest, I'd like to know, if you're an objective environmentalist, do you think we should immediately reevaluate the headlong rush into electric cars and scooters because of the nonstop fire deaths? Thank you very much.
That second question would take us out of the program, but let's stick with the first one. Yes, there have been district heating systems all across Europe for over a century, and there are many in the United States, and there are some that do utilize a very few number that do utilize geothermal, and they're primarily out in western states where you can access hot rock. When we talk about ground source heat pumps for where we are, you don't have hot rock. In other words, you drill down 50 feet or something, it's not really that much hotter. It's like 5 degrees, 10 degrees, not 200 degrees hotter like it is out in California or Idaho. There are efforts now, and the Public Service Commission has given money for a study of district geothermal systems, especially for like new apartment complexes or for new medical or institutional or industrial complexes where you have many buildings close by such that you can supply them all with a circulating loop of refrigerant. But that's, again, something you would have built into a much larger facility.
When you were talking about the construction earlier, I could see where for a new building that is going to wind up re-landscaping everything anyway, it's easier to put it in than digging up a lawn in an old residential house.
Yes, if you're building a new home, air source heat pump or geothermal heat pump, if the area is appropriate to it geotechnically. Building a new home, you've got all the options in the world because you got to put in a heating and cooling system anyway. You spend $10,000 anyway, you know, so you may as well spend a few thousand bucks more, especially if you're buying a $500,000 house. It's nickel and dime on the cost of the house, and put something in if you assume you're going to be owning the house for at least 10 or 15 years. That's going to give you ongoing savings, both dollar wise and carbon wise.
Wow. 212-209-2877, and you are now on the air.
Hi.
You still there?
This is Cruz. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Next caller.
You're on the air.
Hello?
No? Okay. Maybe we have somebody else. 212-209-2877.
Hello?
Hello?
Speak up,
Cruz.
Yeah, talk to Lindsay Auden. Here's your chance.
Great. My question is, could you repeat again the incentives for the low-income homeowners and also for, I guess, like cooperative sort of incentives? So then I guess we could speak to the board to see if any of those programs work for us. The other thing is, I understand that, you know, we want to move to more eco-friendly forms of energy, but in trying to get rid of all these oil or gas fuel items, we're going to be creating another problem, right, dumping these things. So, and in addition to the fact that our electricity is going to be going up, and we're encouraging people to, you know, go into electricity, but you know, it's gonna, that's a cash cow for already monopolizing Con Edison and other electrical companies. So, you know, it's kind of a windfall for the wealthy again, you know, on the backs of the working and poor. So that's my question.
Well, if the issue is how much profit Con Ed makes, understand that it is a regulated monopoly, and that's where the Public Service Commission comes in. And yes, there are many, many investors, both rich and not so rich. That's why they call it a granny investment opportunity that a lot of people depend on, including even types of retirement communities have money invested in Con Ed. Not to say it's a great thing. Got my own opinions about Con Ed. Been on a customer for the last 50 years. So that's a different issue. Having said that, the access to the incentives, first start with rewiringamerica.org, because there are many different incentives. Mm-hmm. When the Inflation Reduction Act was passed, in essence, it is a basket of different acts stuffed together, some of which even overlap each other. The High Efficiency Electric Home Rebate Act, what we called HERA, is one of them. And I won't go into the numbers because it depends a lot on whether or not you're putting in a water heater, an induction stove, or whatever. There are different dollars and cents, and a lot of that is covered at the rewiringamerica.org site. And for things like co-ops, that's a level of organization where you have to have the organization that runs it, whether it's a homeowners association or whatever, getting in on the act. And yes, they can access some of these as well. It is a complex situation wherein I do suggest that you have somebody who can understand numbers to go look at all this stuff and then pick and choose among all the programs to see how they fit you. Basically, by example, in some cases with the HERA, you'll get the rebate if you are less than 80% of the local area median income, which varies by the locale. Right. And typically, either your local government or some person with an economic background can go and look up the area median income. All this stuff is on the web. See whether or not you're less than 80% of it, which you may be surprised. A lot of us are under 80% of the area median income, especially those of us who are retired or on pensions.
90% of us.
And probably everybody on this program.
A friend of mine who lives in a 1920s building, her landlord mentioned in passing about saving energy, except he doesn't know the difference between energy efficiency and solar panels on the roof. He thinks they're the same thing. And,
well, they're not. They may both have the same result, but they're definitely not the same thing.
But I mean, is there a NYSERDA, something that can tell him, because he's not going to listen to me?
NYSERDA is a very good place to go to learn all about this at the very basic level. So are other websites. NYSERDA, of course, is the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, a state-based organization. So it's a nonprofit, right? Government's role is nonprofit. And NYSERDA can get you a lot of that good basic information. The basic thing is that energy efficiency will reduce the amount of energy you're using. Solar power will produce more energy cleaner. So they both have the same basic result. They can cut your overall costs and cut your carbon footprint. One lowers the amount that you're using. The other one supplies it better and cleaner.
And if you do both, you're multiplying that effect. So you're using less of cleaner produced energy.
And one very important point to tie them all together is that if you're going to put in a ground source or air source heat pump, one of the things you want to do before you spend all that money is to have a low-cost or free energy audit of your home or your residence, whatever it is, in order to find out, are there ways to do energy efficiency that will cut your fuel usage and reduce your air conditioning long before you spend a whole boatload of money to put in a heat pump? It will also reduce the cost to install it because, as we found in many older homes, if you seal them properly, insulate their roofs, you won't need to put in as big a heat pump, which cuts your initial capital cost.
So you want to tighten your building first and then do all this other stuff.
And then if you've done that, put solar panels, if you can do that, and get the electricity to run the heat pumps at essentially no cost after the original capital investment.
So you have to think a little bit ahead, but it's a wonderful benefit once you've got all this stuff.
I'll give you a quick example. When we upgraded one of our firehouses, which had heat pumps installed in it years ago, but they only did cooling. And so we looked at that and said, oh, what an opportunity. We built in controls. We're talking in the last year, built in controls that integrated the air source heat pumps with the hydronic, that is circulating water heating system. And that reduced the amount of oil needed to heat the building because now most of it was going to be coming from the heat pumps. We then also installed solar panels on the roof that supply all the heat pump electricity as well as the rest of the electricity of the building, thereby doubly cutting it. And they have synergistic impacts because now we have reduced the amount of electricity needed, reduced the amount of oil needed, and supplied with electricity is needed from solar panels, which are clean.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a wonderful show. You've been a wonderful guest, Lindsay, because this is all solutions to energy problems. And I think a lot of people think that, well, whatever my electric bill is, that's what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. And I think you've just shown us for the last hour, yes, there is something you can do about it. And all that money goes into your pocket. And I like to say that restaurant you can't afford to go to because they raise their prices. Now you can afford to go there. And that listener-supported radio station that you're like, I don't know if I can afford to give to BAI. Well, now you can because you're saving all this money on your electricity. Thanks to listening to WBAI.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to wrap up. So
ready?
Time goes flies by fast. So thanks for joining us this morning. We want to remind you that Governor Hochul has still not signed the Save the Hudson bill. We know that people have been celebrating the bipartisan passage of the bill, but that means nothing unless the governor signs it. And time is running out.
Yeah.
We give the number at the end of the show, and we link to it from our website, ecoradio.org. For more information on today's topic, go to rewiringamerica.org. Also on ecoradio.org, that's ecoradio.org, we have information on a variety of environmental topics, as well as an archive of our past shows.
And we love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
Join us next Wednesday, August 23rd at 10 a.m. when we discuss efforts to stop the financial industry from supporting dirty energy projects. To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums at ecologic.wbai.org, become a member, or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic buddy pledges.
WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And of course, we always need your donations. Have you heard that before? We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call and answer your question.
The show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes. Our thanks to our engineer, Wuji Jacobs. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Ken Gale. And those of you who want to call Governor Hochul about signing the Save the Hudson bill or anything else, her number is 518-474-8390. That's 518-474-8390.
I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Wednesday, August 23rd at 10 a.m. for Banking and Dirty Energy. And you can always find us on the archives. Of course, check our website for details. Thanks for being our listeners.
Bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
give me the $0.33 a day. Not much, is it? Loose change. A third of a cup of coffee. It's nothing. But did you know that 33 cents a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as 33 cents a day, $10 a month, you can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative, and diverse programming on the air. You'll get a WBAI membership card and other goodies. Sign up online. Go to WBAI.org and click on donate. All the details are right there. The WBAI buddy. Be one today.
Extinction Diaries. In February 2020, the Svalbard Global Seed Vault received another 60,000 agricultural seeds, taking the number of different species stored there to over 1 million. The project is designed to safeguard against the extinction of each species by housing and protecting at least 500 seeds per species. Nicknamed the Doomsday Vault, it was finished in 2008, 620 miles from the North Pole, in order to keep it frozen and protected by Norway's permafrost. However, rising temperatures caused a melt and the entranceway flooded in 2017. The February deposit was the first since. A new watertight entrance and a better cooling system has since been constructed. The accident showed the vulnerability of the project to accelerate permafrost melt as global temperatures continued to exceed predictions of climate change. Despite the best intentions and a global engineering effort, humanity had better rethink its location, or the Doomsday Vault just may well be doomed. My name is Rising Moon, and this is a Small World Radio production.
WBAI's election balloting period has started, and you can vote through September 30th, 11:59 p.m. Look out for a link to your e-ballot in the form of an email from invitations@mail.electionbuddy.com with the subject line, Vote Now, Pacifica Foundation, Inc., 2023 Local Station Elections. You may also receive a text message with a link to your e-ballot. If you need to request a new ballot, file a ballot request form by visiting elections.pacifica.org. If you do not have access to the internet, please leave a voicemail on 213-635-9363. Please only file one request, as multiple requests will slow down the processing time. It's 99.5 FM WBAI in New York and online at WBAI.org.
$10 a month. It's the price of a gigabyte of data for that iPad you never use. It's two overpriced coffees you ordered when you forgot to look at the menu. It's your overzealous attempts to meet the credit card minimum at the bodega on the corner. But $10 a month could be a lot more. Become a BAI buddy and commit to a recurring monthly donation to WBAI. This money will help us continue to broadcast the thoughts and perspectives of the progressive public. A BAI buddy is also not without perks. Your monthly contribution will earn you a WBAI tote bag and a member card offering zip car sales, discounted meals at select restaurants, and a handful of other benefits. You will also become a full voting member of WBAI, and our diverse programming will reflect your voice. Go to givetowbai.org and become a BAI buddy to support free speech radio today.
This line ever move?
Someone can't decide which donut.
I just want my 7-grain bread, that's all.
The apple pie is on sale.
The apple pie is from yesterday.
I feel like I'm from yesterday.
What is so hard about picking a donut?
Well, some people don't make snap decisions.
Flip a coin.
Or take your time. I don't mind waiting my turn.
But this isn't just waiting.
It's waiting and waiting and waiting.
I know. That's why I'm sure glad I've got my WBAI.
Be glad you've got your WBAI. Become a member online at WBAI.org.